Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
It's All Things Considered on 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Starting next year, psychiatrists will no longer classify hoarding as simply a type of obsessive-compulsive disorder. Instead, it will become its own separate psychiatric diagnosis. The change is a sign that compulsive hoarding is being taken more seriously. Seriously enough, in fact, that hoarding task forces are springing up all over the country. Massachusetts has at least 25 of them, including in Shrewsbury. At a recent task force meeting there, a representative from the local ambulance service, Michael Hunter, said his crews have responded to emergencies at homes so filled with stuff that it was hard to get the sick or injured people out.
I've been on calls where firefighters have used shovels to shovel out a pathway of newspapers and trash bags so that we could actually access out of a building.
Also on Shrewsbury's hoarding task force are police officer Patricia Babin and fire captain Bill Cummings. They had a case where a woman's hoarding problem was so bad, she didn't realize her husband had died.
She said, "I haven't seen him, I can't find him, and we actually had to go help locate him.
He was lost in the clutter."
Hoarding isn't only a mental health concern, it's a safety issue. It can be a fire risk, attract insects and rodents, cause illnesses from dust buildup, and lead to a floor collapse. So this new way to help hoarders involves bringing together people from multiple agencies, including police and emergency responders, since they're often the first to discover the problem. We wanted to meet someone who's being helped by this team approach, so we visited a 74-year-old man in Cambridge who's facing eviction because of his hoarding.
Hi, this is Bob.
I'm Sasha.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Be my guest to my abode.
Bob asked that we not use his last name because he's so embarrassed about his problem. You can barely see the floor of his two-room apartment, and every surface is covered with something. Clothes, books, files, boxes, boxes on top of boxes.
For some reason, I accumulate things. I don't like the word hoarder. I think it's insulting.
He prefers a different term.
See, I'm a great collector. That's the word, collector, collector.
He collects dish racks, frying pans, old reading glasses.
See, I have all these.
Old cassette tapes?
Yeah. It's all good tape. I don't want to throw them away because eventually I can use them.
The same rationale applies to saving his bank statements from the 1980s.
Because you never know, they might come back and say I didn't pay something.
Back in 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You might think the solution to hoarding is easy. Just throw everything out. A well-meaning friend of Bob's came over once and did a wholesale cleaning. But that left Bob feeling frantic. He was terrified that something valuable may have wound up in the trash.
My best friend, he went in. All right, you gotta get rid of this. Gotta get rid of this. Well, he had me going crazy.
People who study hoarding disorders say cleanouts are the wrong approach if the hoarder has no say in what stays and what goes, because usually the hoarding starts all over again. So Jesse Edsel-Vetter, who coordinates the Hoarding and Sanitation Initiative at the Metropolitan Boston Housing Partnership, is working with Bob to help him get rid of about half of his apartment's contents. Step one is sorting.
These are some of Bob's rules about sorting.
Edsel-Vetter is pointing to a piece of yellow notebook paper taped to the wall of Bob's apartment. It has two lists, one labeled most important and the other least important.
So when he's sorting, he comes back to this list and focuses on, do I need this or do I want it?
Yeah.
Under most important, you have number one, furniture,
right.
Number two, photos, number three, enough clothing.
Yeah.
So does furniture mean you want to make sure it's clear of things?
Yeah, what my goal is, see these two desks, that's what I want. All my stuff will be in those two desks.
Under least important are books and old bills. They first tackle a box of church bulletins Bob has been saving for years. Edsel-Vetter asks him if they're a need or a want. Bob tells him they're a need because he needs to give them to some people at his church.
How did we define need?
A need is, it's good, it's a good use for them.
A need, Edsel-Vetter reminds Bob, is something necessary to keep you clothed, housed, or fed. It's not church bulletins.
Okay, so that's a want.
It's a want.
Okay. This is part of the learning process. Yes. It takes some
change. Well, I just told you.
Can you hear me out? I know it's hard for you.
Until this point in the visit, Bob has been cheerful and cooperative. But when he's pushed to clear out his bulletins, he starts breathing heavily and his face reddens. He suddenly storms away and disappears into his kitchen.
So can we come back and talk about it? We usually talk through this, remember? I know it's tough. Do you want to sit down?
What I'm saying, those are church bulletins. I'm trying to get them all together at once.
Why don't we take a deep breath and take a break
from
the sorting?
Ed Sylvetter says he's not surprised by this reaction because people who hoard have great difficulty parting with their possessions.
I have watched all kinds of heartbreaking incidents over time. I've had clients who have threatened self-harm. I've watched a mother say, I want to give up custody of my kids and give up my housing, and I will keep my stuff.
He believes one agency or one person alone can't solve a hoarding problem.
In Bob's case, he's going to be working with a mental health provider. We're going to be bringing in elder services. We're partnering with his housing provider and a social worker. He needs people that can follow him over time.
And even though this team approach can be expensive, he says it's a lot cheaper than an eviction, which often involves extensive legal fees, as well as the cost of a cleanout, which can run more than $10,000. But the threat of losing housing is an effective tool.
We have the big stick of you could be evicted or you could have your home condemned. That kind of leverage, I think, is more motivating for people, and it allows us to push a little bit harder.
And people like Bob realize they need to be pushed. Just a minute or two after his upset at the idea of throwing away his old church bulletins, he's fine again and even praises Ed Sylvetter for his approach.
His method is good. He helped me.
How does it feel to have less clutter, more space?
Oh, it feels wonderful. Oh. And one of these days you're invited back when I get it all and we have a nice cocktail.
To celebrate.
Yeah.
You're going to have a cocktail when you finally reach the
decluttered
apartment?
Oh, God, yes.
But getting to that celebration will be a slow process. During that sorting session, Bob agreed to get rid of just a few pieces of paper. That's all he could cope with discarding, at least for that afternoon. To see photos of Bob's apartment, go to WBUR.org.